Hello, I've come to be baptized as a believer in Christ's redeeming sacrifice for me. As this verse from the Easter hymn says, and oh my friend indeed, who at my need his life did spend. I'd like to tell you a little about my life, along with the development of my Christian faith. I grew up in a small village in Sussex, one of six children. My father was a Church of England priest. He and my mother concentrated on their parish work rather than on their large family. My parents had married later in life, so my two brothers and three sisters and I were born in quick succession with only a year between each child. We were, of course, baptized as babies. Then, as young teenagers, we were confirmed into the Christian faith, as is done in the Church of England. Once we reached the age of 7 years old, we were each sent to boarding schools in either Sussex or Oxfordshire. This wasn't so unusual in those days, but it didn't create a healthy family life, and we spent most of each year away from home at our boarding schools. Some months after my confirmation, I was still unsure about why Jesus had to die on a cross. I remember being disappointed by my house mother's inability to answer this question when I asked her to explain why Jesus had to die on a cross. She waffled, as far as I could tell. I only spoke about the Virgin Mary and Mary Magdalene. I went away unhappy and frustrated with her inadequate answer, realizing that she probably didn't understand the purpose of Jesus' death either. My inquiries continued, and a year later, I began attending a local Bible study group. At last, I began to grow in faith as I understood what the gospel meant for me. The local Christian Bible study group took me, as still quite a young teenager, into Oxford on several occasions to hear people like Trevor Huddleston speaking. I remember the first talk we went to was given by a missionary nun who worked with a China Inland Mission. The first time I'd ever heard about people being prepared to die for what they believed in. It surprised me very much. A year before my O-levels, GCSEs, I decided that I might enjoy nursing and began to study appropriately rather than just concentrate on my preferred sports activities, hockey, netball, tennis, athletics, gymnastics. Sports up to then had kept me buoyant, but for the time being had to take second place to academic work. Thankfully, my plans to pass those O-levels relieved current pressures on me from the teaching staff. By the time I left school to begin my nursing training, my Christian faith had developed into a certainty in Christ's sacrifice for me. My older brother Paul had become a born-again Christian, as he called it, along with his future wife Pam. They'd attended the 1965 Billy Graham Crusade in Cambridge. And over the next year, they were supported by their local evangelical church in their newfound faith. This impressed me, mainly because he was much nicer to me during the holidays. 2 years later, after the birth of their first child, Cara, both Paul and Pam were baptized in Sittingbourne, Kent, in a wonderful Baptist church there. It was a wonderful service, and I continued to learn from Paul's faith and obedience to God over the years ahead. So I began my nurse's training at St. Thomas's Hospital, London, in 1969, and shared a flat in Lambeth with four other girls. We went to different churches in London city centre and noticed how their theological emphases and way of worshipping differed. On one occasion, we went to hear Richard Wurmbrand, the Romanian priest, speak at St. Martin in the Fields in Trafalgar Square. The pastor spoke about what had been happening in Romania and our Lord's presence there. For me, it was seeing his frail, bent body after years of torture and starvation for his faith, as well as hearing that holy man speak with such radiant love that helped me understand how Pastor Wurmbrand's life simply demonstrated God's forgiveness and his love. It was a very important time in my life, and I bought his book and thought very deeply about him and his faith. I preferred to stay south of the river to worship when I was nursing, and joined an evangelical church opposite the Oval Station in Kennington. They had a small community of Christians living together in the rectory, and the rectory community used the Holy Spirit's fruits and his gifts within the church and also in the surrounding area. It was here that I first experienced God's gifts through his Spirit and the benefits that flowed from them to the diverse church membership. After completing my nurse's training, I worked as a staff nurse on the children's ward. I was later accepted by Tear Fund and the Bible and Medical Missionary Fellowship to go to Bangladesh with Tear Fund for 5 months in 1972. I went with a group of six other female nurses. And before arriving in Bangladesh, we were given a gentle induction period by the Bible and Medical Missionary Fellowship missionaries in India and Nepal to help us acclimatize to the climate and other cultures. I again enjoyed and benefited from living, praying, and working closely with a group of Christians. We were there to nurse injured Bengali freedom fighters after the war of partition from East Pakistan. The war had ended, but soldiers continued to arrive with appalling wounds. We worked in the orthopedic hospital in Dhaka, despite it only being half built. We worked alongside the mainly local Muslim nurses. God continued to weave himself in and out of my life and on into my marriage to David Mason when we were 25. We lived in Gretton, near Winchcombe, where I also worked as a district nurse midwife. David worked in Cheltenham as an engineer with aeronautical systems, and we worshipped at St. Matthew's Church in Cheltenham, taking our two little boys along to the church and joining in with its family life. We were involved with Scripture Union holiday camps and enjoyed helping to run the Pathfinder group, 12-year-olds and upwards, at St. Matthew's. When Samuel, our eldest son, was 5, we moved to Cambridge to be nearer David's recently widowed mother. David spent our first year in Cambridge looking after little Pete, who was 3, while renovating our house in Cambridge. Quite a combination. This was a time of many changes for me, since first my brother Paul died at the age of 42. And in the same year, my father died. The other change was that I still wasn't happy as a mother of 2 young children, having to work sooner than I wanted to. After working at Addenbrooke's for 18 months, it was decided that we should try working part-time on different days of the week. So I began to nurse Stephen, who now needed 24-hour care for the first time in his life, at home and later at work, and during physics conferences abroad. During this time of family upheaval and personal disquiet, I remember standing on a cold, isolated beach near where my mother lived, actually in Budleigh-Silderton, feeling alone, misunderstood, desperate. I began to shout out loud to God that he was absolutely useless and was of no help to me at all. Suddenly, I seemed to hear an equally loud voice that came from within me saying, "But I am here. I died on that cross for you because I want to surround you with my love." This was, of course, an extraordinary experience, and it's helped me to trust in God's involvement in all aspects of my life. And as the years rolled by, I knew that God really was with me through my divorce to David and my marriage to Stephen Hawking. I was indeed able to share my faith with Stephen. He would often grin and say that he didn't mind coming second place to God, a sort of Stephen joke. Stephen was the love of my life, and I was his. Neither of us had been as happy or as loved before. We had such fun and coped happily with many difficult things together, usually in order to keep Stephen healthy or to enable him to achieve his potential. He wanted to travel a great deal, which of course we did. We traveled with his technical assistant to keep his computer going and to help him give his talks, and a small carers to help us, plus many, many, many suitcases of medical equipment. So we traveled to Europe, Scandinavia, North and South America, Japan, Vietnam, a lot of places, to attend book fairs, to advertise his latest book, or to give lectures to the public. Once we filled a whole basketball stadium, 6,000 people. That was in Texas, I think. And we also raised funds for the university science departments. We went to lots of physics conferences, which were our favorite trips, because Stephen was happiest when conferring with other scientists. We also had adventures like air ballooning or carrying him up to the top of the Great Wall of China, where he had to sit on my lap while we waited for his wheelchair to arrive, which was very heavy, unlike him. In Cambridge, he was always happy to come to St. Barnabas Church with me. He liked the informal way that the church greeted and accepted him. The prayers, hymns, and Bible readings often evoked a lot of quiet weeping from him. At home, he read the Bible. He usually asked for the Old Testament stories and often prayed together. Whenever possible, Stephen would ask me to read from our chosen novel to him for hours and hours, the deal being that we took it in turns to choose the next book to be read out loud together. After 22 years of looking after Stephen, first as his nurse and then as his wife, I eventually had to make the hardest decision of all, which was to separate from him. Stephen's motor neuron disease continued to worsen as expected. This meant regular and lengthy visits to intensive care or the respiratory unit as his condition and treatment needs changed. Over the years, I had gradually become less resilient to the constant mental, emotional, and physical strains. And I found that I wasn't tough enough to cope with the constant undermining from one particular quarter of our marriage. Then in 2004, we had to cope with horrible lies that became a news item, which made us both very angry and upset, but of course determined not to retaliate. During these trials, we were trying to help my youngest son, who was struggling with a severe mental illness at the age of 19. I was also trying to remain a part of my 90-year-old mother's life, whom we'd moved to a nursing home in Cambridge. Trying to juggle these priorities that seemed to increase on a daily basis made me realize that I was only human. I didn't want to become unable to function effectively for either Stephen or my son's sake. So reluctantly, but also under some pressure, Stephen and I let go of each other. There were, as ever, others wanting to be significant people in Stephen's life. Thankfully, though, for me, the core of our nursing team, who are like our family, continued as a vital part of the team looking after Stephen. My friends, Jenny and Archie Ferguson, who had supported and prayed with me and Stephen many, many times, especially when we were in intensive care and also in our home, were just wonderful friends to us both. Happily, they're here with us this morning. Another blessing was Stephen's mother, Isabel Hawking, who was slightly younger than my mother, but 6 times more active and many times more mentally alert. Mother Isabel had always seen the damaging force tearing Stephen and I apart. And she now lovingly supported us in our decision to separate before it became even worse. So in 2007, 11 years ago, I made my way back to Gloucestershire after living in Cambridge for 24 years. Having moved house over 16 times in my life, it was great to be back in Gloucestershire, near to where I was born. I was born in Herefordshire. I began to make friends in Ebrington and joined its church, later regularly attending St. David's Church in Morton instead. I valued St. David's expository teaching and the lively fellowship and the many opportunities for prayer. But the 10-mile drive to Morton and back never made much sense to me. I think it was probably 3 years ago when I understood what God wanted for me. It was to worship locally, where he had planted me, and to grow here in Camden Baptist Church. 3 days after asking to be considered for baptism, my former husband, Stephen, died. I've had 3 weeks of reflection between then and now. Reflection, prayer, and repentance as I've prepared for my baptism today. Stephen has felt especially close to me during these last 3 weeks. It was sad that I was unable to be present at his funeral yesterday, but I guess that Stephen would say that I was putting God first, which is true, and I intend to continue putting God first in my life. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Galatians chapter 6. And I've been asked just to say how the penny dropped, why I'm here now. First, I want to ask for God's forgiveness for those times when love of myself has triumphed over my love for Jesus. And secondly, I believe that I'm obeying God's leading to be baptized within this church family. God's leading has been at work for some time within me, but his unmistakable prompt came during a sermon Edward Ibbotson gave 3 weeks ago on Sunday, the 11th of March in the evening. He was preaching on Galatians chapter 3. Edward showed us how faith, even a small enough amount, is the only route that God takes to enter our lives. It's Abraham's faith, demonstrated well before the promised land had been given to Israel, that is the root of God's permanent promise to us as children of faith. Then when Edward opened up verses 26, 27, I found I was tingling with expectation as I knew that God's Spirit was speaking directly to me through these two verses. For now, we are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And we who have been baptized in union with Christ are enveloped by him. I knew that I hadn't yet been baptized into union with Christ in faith, but that he was demanding that I should do so now. It was also clear that I should talk to someone about it before I left the church that evening. And so I did. In the past, when my faith was too weak, I might have blamed myself and tried harder to get things right as a Christian. But here was God telling me straight that my faith was enough and should now lead to baptism within this church fellowship.